We are thankful to the Almighty God that He has seen fit to allow us to assemble ourselves together again for the purpose of worshiping Him. Amen. And as we think about all that has transpired in our lives and all that we seek to do, our lesson today really is a reminder, a refresher, but also something that will challenge us to be better than we've ever been. As we think about passing a test, as I see that young 15-year-old in the back that I feed every day, soon he'll be getting in a motor vehicle with a total stranger. And that total stranger is going to examine him based on a standard. Turning, braking, speed, a driving test. And so I've gotten some unofficial results of, you know, he's been taking his mama around here and there, and then I talk to his sister, and I say, how's he driving? And so they say, he's a little fast. He's a little fast. So when he rode with me, I said he was going too slowly. And so I guess everybody else, he's a little fast. But here's my point. We take driving tests. Soon our kids will be back in school, and they will take a number of tests. Those that are going off to college take college entrance exams. So testing is nothing new to us. So then why is it when it comes to the spiritual tests? We don't want it. We don't want the test. We want our license, and we'll go through whatever, we'll endure whatever needs to be done. Some of you may get married one day. Amen, walls and light. Maybe not then. Don't play house. Amen. Don't shack up. Amen. This, I want to talk to everybody else then, since ain't nobody getting married. My point is, God has a plan. God understands testing. The Bible is not silent. The Bible records in Romans chapter 15 and the verses 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. See, Paul was writing to the church located in Rome, the Church of Christ at Rome. And he tells them, Church of Christ at Rome, though for whatsoever things are written aforetime, aforetimes mean before this very day, in these scriptures, were written for our learning. So we can get a guide, a reference, a tool, a resource for getting through our present suffering, our present trials, by looking back at some things that happened before us. In other words, we can learn from other people's example. Last week in Genesis chapter 22, we studied Abraham. When God said, brethren, get for me Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. We got to paraphrase for time's sake. Genesis 22 and 1, God said, now Abraham, I got to tempt him. Now, we made that very clear. That word tempt in the Hebrew is translated test or prove. God said, I got to prove Abraham. He needs to be found worthy that he will be the father of many nations. Genesis 22 and 1, read. And it came to pass after these things. That God did tempt, translated prove, test. God wanted to make sure he was a man for the job. And that's a word to the wise. Before you make a commitment with anything or anybody, they call it betting. I'm hiring people over at where I work. And so I bet people. It's interview, reference, but also it's got to feel right in my gut. We vet people from a relationship standpoint. We vet people for jobs. And so God's going to make sure we're ready and we're suitable for the job. So sisters, vet those brothers. Now y'all awake. Brothers, vet those sisters. I got to move on. See, if I could stay right there. Y'all know me. I would stay right there, but I got to move on. God said, I'm going to tempt Abraham, I'm going to prove and test him. Come on.
And said unto him,
Abraham.
And he said, behold, here am I.
I love that. See, Abraham said, here am I. We got to be ready for the test. See, I didn't hit that last week. Abraham said, here am I. When someone says, I need to check you out, well, no, why you need to check me out? Don't try me. Here am I. So for your notes, one, the reality of proving, the reality of testing, the We have to pass the test. But two, point number two of a few today, we have to be ready. Here am I. I am ready for the test. Whatever it is, relationship-wise, be ready for the test. Emotional, be ready for the test. People talking about me, I just can't take it. People talking about me, be ready for the test. Abraham said, here am I. Lord, have mercy. Because when you say, here am I, you recognize that I am. So when Moses was told, you go and you're going to take my people and deliver them. You're going to help my people get out of Egyptian bondage. Well, he said, I got a stuttering problem. He said, who made your mouth? Well, whom shall I say sent me? Tell him I am sent you. So when we say, here I am, we recognize that I am. That goes back to the confidence that Paul had in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So when we say, here I am on the job, here I am for a relationship, here I am in every aspect of my life, remember that I am is here. Because here I am. See, it all works together. Y'all all right? That's the confidence. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That word strengthened in the Greek means who empowers me. So I am here because I am is here. Abraham said, here I am. Verse 3, Genesis 22. I got to pivot from this, but I want to make sure. So Abraham got up early. Let me paraphrase for time. Abraham got up, got the donkey, got his men, got the wood, got his only son. Because God told him something in verse 2. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee in the land of Moriah, one of the mountains in Jerusalem, a key place in Scripture. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham did it. Got his son. He didn't kill his son. Took his son. Told the men, y'all go back. We will come back to you. We will come back. So the faith of Abraham is what we talked about last week. The obedience of Abraham. But I want to show you something before we pivot this morning. And the Bible lets us know, drop down, Gail, to verse 4. Because again, Abraham had 3 days to contemplate this. What did happen on the third day? Come on.
Then on the third day.
Verse 4, Genesis 22, if you're following us, and I hope you are. Then on the third day.
Abraham lifted up his eyes.
Lifted up his eyes.
And saw the place afar off.
And he saw the place afar off. And he could have said, I'm going to turn back now. 3 days. Some of us change our mind in 3 minutes. God said, take your only son, your son of an old age. Third day, he sees the exact place God told him to go, afar off. Time's sake, drop down to verse number 7. Come on.
And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father.
So Abraham did what God said. If you read 5 and 6, we got to paraphrase for time. Verse 7, Isaac spake unto his father.
And said, my father.
Daddy, in other words.
And he said,
come on.
Here am I, my son.
I want you to catch that. So God told Abraham, Abraham told God, here am I. But he told his son, here am I. You got to be there for your family. See, there's no elders in the Lord's church if you ain't there for your family. Wives, children can disqualify an elder. If you ain't there for your husband, you ain't there for your kids, you'll be disqualified or you will never be. Amen. That's part of the process. He told God, here am I. Watch the question Isaac's asking, because Isaac ain't crazy. Okay, you just told those men to go back. We're going to go and worship God. But see, part of worshiping God was a burnt offering. And it's you and me. Daddy? Isaac was not a little boy. Quite frankly, based on their age, he could have kind of probably physically taken out Abraham too. But he had faith in his father. His father had faith in God. Come on, son.
And he said, behold.
He said, behold.
The fire and the wood.
The fire and the wood.
But where's the lamb for a burnt offering?
Daddy, where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Because we're going to go and worship. We don't have everything it takes to worship God acceptably at this time. What did Abraham say in verse 8, Gail? Come on.
And Abraham said, my son. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.
The same God. He said, here am I. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. J-I-R-E-H. It means God will provide in Hebrew. God will provide. So Abraham had faith in God. Don't forget this now. Abraham's faith in God. He told his son, I'm here for you, son. I love you, but God gave me instructions. Verse 11. So when Abraham put him on that wood, Verse 9, you can see this in the text, laid him out, stretched forth his hand with a knife in the air. Gale, verse 11, come on.
And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven.
The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, said,
Abraham.
Did he call him once? Abraham.
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 And he said, here am I.
There he is again. See, again, when God calls, are we listening? Well, no, I got to do something, Lord. I'll be right back. No, here am I. The same God said, I got to tempt you. I got to prove you. Here am I. He's in the midst of service. Here am I. When it comes to service, are you there? Some of you all are here physically. Are you here? Because you can be physically praying. You ever talk to somebody and you knew their mind was somewhere else? Amen. Let me look at y'all because it may be the case today. You may be here. You're physically here, but your mind is somewhere else. I just scanned all this quickly. Y'all all right now. My point is, Abraham's like this. Abraham, here am I. Always be ready when God calls. Read.
And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad.
Don't you touch the lad. Don't you touch that boy. Come on.
Neither do thou anything unto him.
Don't do anything to him.
Unto him.
Come on.
For now I know that thou fearest God.
There it is. For now I know that thou fearest God. Your faith, you have passed the test. You have passed the test. You have been proven because now I know. Thou fearest God. Come on.
Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son.
See, you were willing to sacrifice your son. How many did he have?
Thine only son from
thine
me.
Thine only son. You were going, this child of old age, you were going to slay him because I told you to. But you have to understand something. God, and there's been so much debate on it, but I'm going to just keep it up here for now. God wanted to make sure that Abraham's mindset was consistent with God's will. Get that. Our mindset has to be consistent with God's will. Because when Jesus says, you're going to be my disciple, you got to deny yourself. And again, all of us struggle with this. We want what we want when we want it. Selfishness is going to cause some people to go to hell. Selfishness is hurting the Lord's church. I got a plan. No, it's God's will. Amen. No, me and my family met. No, it's still God's will. It's not Gale over God. I'm Gale. It ain't you over God. You got your own little plan. No, you got to do God's will. And it's God's will that we are here. It's God's will that we work together. It's God's will that we go forth. Amen. It's God's will that you whoop your kids. All right, that's delayed. Now, discipline. Y'all, some of y'all know, whoop. Oh, no, I don't believe in that. Okay, well, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. That's Bible. Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Amen. Don't take me back. Don't let me preach another lesson. Johnny going to argue with you up and down. You're like, oh, Johnny, please. No, I got something for Johnny. Please. Let me move on. I'll be at the back door if you need any questions on that. Amen. Part of the problem today. You did not sacrifice your only son. I know you passed the test. But now, angel called him the first time. Now we're about to pivot. Point one, Abraham passed the test. Abraham had to be proven as we are. Verse 15, Gail, Genesis 22, verse 15, watch this. So he called Abraham the first time. Abraham, don't you kill that child. Don't you touch that child. But now there's a second call. Watch, read.
And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time.
He called him the second time. What did he say the second time? Here we go.
And said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord.
So God says, I have sworn. I have made a promise. I have made a commitment. I have made a promise by myself. But see, people talk about, you know, growing up, we would just say, you know, I swear to God I'm going to do that. I'm going to own a stack of Bibles. I swear to God on my grandmama's grave. We need some kind of authority that tells you people that you're serious. You shouldn't do all that foolishness either now. Your word, your yea should be yea, and your nay should be nay. When I tell you no, I ain't got to go, oh, I'm going to put on a stack of, a liar can put his hand on a stack of Bibles. Amen. You can have a cross around your neck. You can have a Bible on the dining room table, all this show stuff. Not saying it's not bad to have a Bible on the table. It's not bad to have a cross around your neck, but it's what you do. Amen. A whole lot of people with a cross around their neck lying today. Amen. The point is what you do. So Abraham's commitment, so God doesn't need any third party or second party validation. He said, I swore on myself because God cannot lie. By myself, Gale 15 again from the top.
And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord.
By myself have I sworn. Saying what?
The Lord.
The Lord, come on.
For because thou hast done this thing.
Because you have done this thing. What thing did Abraham do? And he was obedient. He was faithful. He was willing to slay his only son, a son who he loves, his only son. Come on.
And has not withheld thy son.
You have not withheld your son.
Thine only son.
Thine only son. That so in, now, come on.
That in blessing,
that
I will bless thee.
That in blessing. See, now you pass a test. Now here's the reward. I will bless thee. Come on.
And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven.
Thy seed as the stars of the heaven.
And as the sand which is
upon the seashore.
And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies.
Of his enemies. Why? Read the last one I want, Gail, in Genesis, verse 18.
And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Hold your point. So now because you were faithful, because you obeyed, because you trusted, now those from you, your seed will be through whom all, and in thy seed, those who come after you, Abraham, those who come from you, Abraham, shall all the nations, that's all nations of the earth be blessed. Why?
Because thou hast obeyed my voice.
Faith is incomplete without obedience. Faith is incomplete without obedience. You can have faith in somebody and you don't do a thing. The Bible says in the book of James that the devils also believe. The devils know who God is. They know who Jesus is. We looked at that in Luke chapter 4 this morning in Bible study. The devils said, thou art the Christ. Faith plus obedience, because you've obeyed my voice. So having said this, 3 points today, I've already made point number one. Our second point. Quit playing the victim. Because we have to be reminded that when we suffer, we act like it's some strange thing happening. Brother, I just don't know what's going on. What do you mean you don't know what's going on? When people talk about me, when people lie on me, when people want to just criticize, I'm like, Lord, thank you. Is it comfortable? No. Is it fun? No. Was that fun for Abraham? Well, imagine, I'm walking with Gail. I mean, let's use an example, son. I love you, man. Let's say before the year 2000, he was our only child. And I'm walking and saying, hey, son, you know, it's been a good run. Abraham was a father. We got to make it practical. He was willing to do whatever God said, how God said, do it, even to the point of his only son. So when we go through some kind of trial, Peter says in 1 Peter 4, it's on your screen, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. There's the victimization right there. All I want to do is be faithful, and all I want to do is this. Okay. Then welcome to the trial. Amen, saints. I want to make sure y'all understand this today. See, we have to go through trials and tribulations as though some strange thing is happening to us. I've been in the Lord's church a little while now, been preaching a little while, almost 3 decades now, and still, children of God, quote unquote, complain about suffering. That is a sin. Because it's not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith, it to him in the same. When's the last time y'all thanked God for suffering? Don't say anything out loud. Look at any athlete that sees the opponent, and the opponent is whether they're talking trash or all that other stuff, you welcome that. Why? Because it makes you better. Spiritual trials, challenges in your families, challenges in my family. If we have the mindset consistent with God's will, it makes us better. So Peter says, beloved, don't think it's strange. Quit acting like you're a victim. He didn't just say trial. What kind of trial? The fiery trial. It will be uncomfortable, but we got to get through it. Because under the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But there's the next word. When's the last time you thank God for a trial? I guarantee you, somebody here is in the midst of a trial right now. Some just came out of a trial, and some are heading for a trial. You better have your mind right, because you can always tell. You can always tell when somebody's going through something. It may be tears. It may be just different disposition. You can see it on someone's countenance. Some of us have gotten real good Academy Awards now. How you doing, sister? I'm fine. No, you're not. That's why I look you dead. I guarantee when I'm at the back door right now, because I'm going to ask y'all. I can't have them lock the doors. That would not be right. But I tell you what, I'm going to go somewhere different today. When y'all leave, how you doing, brother? I'm going to look you right in the eye. Don't be good, bruh. Don't do that today. Amen. Honesty. Peter says, he says, now, when it comes to this trial, but rejoice. Victims complain. Victims are like, oh, woe is me. But no, rejoice inasmuch because Abraham had to go through a trial. We have to go through a trial. And somebody on that cross went through a trial. He says, rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers. That word partake, koinonia. Communion is a Greek word. Greek word is koinonia, means joint participant. We are suffering with Christ. We are partakers of Christ's sufferings that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be what? Glad. Also with, I got it, exceeding joy. I don't see any victimization in that. I see celebration. So as I go through stuff, as you go through stuff, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you, because I am rejoicing in the fact that I'm going through a trial. It's a different mentality. The world's going to say, you better fight back. You better. Where's God? No, God is in the same place he's always been. So what are you? What am I doing in the midst of a trial? And nothing wrong with crying. I'm not even, God knows we're human. Nothing wrong with shedding tears. But not tears of victimization. It's like, this hurts, but I got to tell the truth. I got to move forward. Amen. So Peter says that in 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13. But as we talk about the trial, stay in 1 Peter, brethren. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 7. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Our second point is no victims. If you're taking notes, we know that the first point was obviously Abraham's trial. Abraham had to be tested. Abraham had to pass the test. Faith plus obedience leads to the blessing. Faith plus obedience, not just faith. You can believe in God. That ain't enough. You got to obey God. And Abraham did that. He passed the test. God told him, because you've obeyed my voice, you will be the father of many nations. Just through your seed, the nation of the earth will be blessed. Y'all got that? Amen? Second point, no victims. No victims. And again, I'm being very frank and very transparent. It is prevalent throughout society. There's entitlement. When things are going well, all is great. When something goes wrong with us or something goes wrong with something that we want, And you see it in the workforce. You see it in schools. Any of you that work in a school, I wonder if any parent has ever showed up saying, what y'all doing to my child? Well, if you took care of business at home, we wouldn't have to have you here. Amen, teachers, administrators. Y'all know, you're getting ready for another year of the parent roller coaster. I was in the gym all day yesterday. Had a parent come up with his phone. This is what the score should be. I said, you better go sit down somewhere. Two kids scuffing a little bit. I got them saying, y'all get over here and talk to them like men, like young men. I turned around, I was like, oh, there's a parent right there. I'm going to stand right here. I'm like, what are you doing here? You can see it. No, they hit my child. So you need to go sit down and we'll work this out. It's all over the place. And even in the church, something goes wrong. Well, no. It's like, no, stay in your lane. Amen, saints. It's all over society. Don't make excuses. No victims. Own your behavior. Here am I. I trust God. I want my kids. God knew Abraham, Genesis verse chapter 18, that he would lead his children would follow after him. When you handle your business, it makes life easier for everybody else. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. Watch this now. Not only should we, Peter, did he say that don't think it's strange, like you, like you're so special that you can't be tried. We are special, and we should be tried. We are special, and we will be tried. 1 Peter 1:7, Brother Lenny, what you got?
That the trial of your faith.
Oh, but the trial of your faith. Wait a minute, what's being tried? Our faith. What's, so brothers, get this now. Not your manhood or your ego. Another man going, no. Your faith is being tried. Just to be clear, fill in the blank. The test we're talking about, the proving we're talking about, is our faith. Trust, belief, reliance, confidence in the Almighty God. And man's going to try you. Man's going to try to get you with your ego and everything else. It's our faith in God. The mindset must fit the willingness of God, the intent of God. God doesn't want this. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual test. That the trial of your faith, come on.
Being much more precious than of gold that perishes.
Much more precious, it is valuable than of gold that perisheth. See, gold has to be tried. Gold has to be purified. It has to go through the fire. The same Peter in 1 Peter 4:12 talk about the fiery trial, which is to try you. Now he's giving it some context in 1 Peter 1:7. The trial of your faith, put your name in there. The trial of Gail's faith, the trial of insert your own name with you. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth. Read.
Though it be tried with fire.
Though gold be tried with fire.
Might be found unto praise and honor and glory.
Might be found unto the praise and honor and glory. When?
At the appearing of Jesus Christ.
At the appearing of Jesus Christ. Gold goes through the fire. Impurities are burned off. It shines brightly, and it is valuable. And now people, for that gold, people save up their money. They buy gold things. People get to the point, people will do anything to get gold. If we had chunks of gold in the parking lot, I wonder how long it would last outside. People see the value. Free, take one, please. How valuable is our faith? Do you trust God in spite of what anybody else says? In spite of what you've been taught before? In spite of what your mama, daddy, someone else has taught you? Because this is where the rubber meets the road, if you will. See, somebody can hear that and say, oh, that's great, general faith. No, when Jesus talks about one church, baptism, raising your kids, husbands and wives, then it starts getting a little bit more, that's a little uncomfortable. I've never been taught that. But it's still the word of God. It's not just enough. See, the devils believe and tremble. They know who God is. A lot of folks want to date God, but they don't want to be married. It's convenient. What I'm saying to you through the word of God is, Peter says, your faith has to be tried like gold so it can be found to be valuable. And I want to show you. We got 3 points today. Point 2B, that's 2A, is our faith has to be tried. Our faith is valuable like gold. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:7 that Brother Lenny just read, it has to be tried with fire so that it can be found unto the praise and honor and glory. See, when we go through the fire, we see the value. We see the beauty. Nobody wants to go in the midst of the fire. It's got to get through. We have to get through. What does it look like on the other side? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and about verse number 1. See, to give you an example, because see, it starts with us. Are you willing to give of yourself? Are you willing to give of self? See, oftentimes people talk about stewardship. They think stewardship is all about money. No. Stewardship is you. It's ourselves. Because again, if I'm not committed to something, if you don't have me, you don't have people talk about time, talent, and treasure. If everyone in the Lord's church gave of themselves first, everything else follows, because then you will see the need firsthand. You'll see the need firsthand. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Listen to Paul when he talks about the saints at Macedonia. Come on.
Moreover, brethren. We do you to wit of the grace of God.
Come on.
Bestowed on the churches of Macedonia.
He says, we want you to know, that word wit, we want you to know of how good God has been through his grace on the churches of Macedonia. So Macedonia is a location. Now, those churches of Christ in Macedonia, he said, I want you to know about God's grace toward them. What did they do? Come on.
How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality.
I want you to understand. Thank you, son, for reading that. In a great, not just a trial, but in a great trial of affliction. Oftentimes, I got to make this practical, because oftentimes when folks are going through something, we don't see them. Where did that come from? That is so anti-biblical. Amen. You're going through something and you don't come out. You're not in the company of your brothers and sisters. That's the worst place to be. Where does the devil want you more than anything else? Where does the devil want? Where does the devil, you know, you imagine confinement? When a hardened criminal is arrested, they put him in a place called solitary, solo, Latin, one. Y'all all right? Solitary confinement, out of the general population. Using some correctional terms here. I don't know if any of y'all been in jail, but I'm just in case y'all haven't been. Y'all all right? There's been psychological experiments of having a baby secluded, not hugged, nothing, away from other babies. And the effects on that child when they grow up versus one who's got the nurturing, is around other people, the socialization. That's why you don't have your kids like so locked down that once they get a breath of fresh air, they're going to leave you like a, they're going to run out like the roadrunner. Amen, parents. They'd be like, okay, this kid's praying to get to 18. You got to let them breathe. I'm not saying they got to, you're going to let them go buck wild. Amen. Well, no, you're going to do right. You're going to live by the word. You're going to do right. But have that discussion with them. Talk to them. So solitary, the point I'm making, solitary confinement is that the extreme punishment in a correctional context. I've shared this in the past. So brothers and sisters, as we go through trials, don't isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself. How that in a great trial of affliction, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, in a great trial of affliction, the abundance, just the opposite, they came through. They were in the midst of a trial, a great trial, the abundance of their joy. What did Peter say? Rejoice through a trial. Y'all remember that? Please say amen if you remember it. Rejoice through a trial. You have exceeding joy in the midst of a trial, getting through a trial. But it's a mindset. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Even though they were struggling, they gave. But look what they gave. Come on.
For to their power.
Here it is. For to their power, to their ability, to their ability. See, quit trying to be someone else. Quit trying to keep up with somebody else. When God talked to Abraham, he said, here am I. We look at other people. We look at their situations. We get envious. We get jealous. What God is saying, what the word of God is saying throughout is just be you. God created us. Look at what the Bible says. For to their power, I love that Greek translation, based on their individual ability. If I can give a penny, I'll give a penny if that's all I can do. But look at what he says. For to their power, Gail.
I bear record.
I take note. It is clearly seen, duly noted. Read.
Yea, and beyond their power.
And then beyond. They even extended beyond their power. They went above and beyond. Come on.
They were willingly of themselves.
They were willing of themselves. Drop down to verse 5 for time's sake. Here it is. They're willing of themselves. What do you mean?
And
so, wait a minute. Beyond their power. So if I have the ability to only do, let's say, one whatever it is, but then I team up with a brother or sister, and collectively we do three or four. Now I'm going even beyond my power. It's something called synergy. S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y, synergy. In business school, when I took it in graduate school, I heard the word synergy. The professor put up there 2 + 2 = 5. We know mathematically that's not correct. But when one person can do two, another person can do more. We can get more done together. It's the beauty of fellowship. So forget the math. It's about the mentality. So beyond their power means, here it is, verse 5, here we go.
This they did.
And here's how they went beyond their power. And this they did.
Not as we hoped.
Not as we hoped, because basically we knew what their ability was. Not as we hoped. Come on.
But first. Gave their own selves. To the Lord.
And unto us.
By the will of God.
Brother says, that's where it is. So first of all, are you committed individually to going through the trial? Here I am again. Here am I. When we talk about the trial, it produces growth. Paul uses the churches of Macedonia as an example of they were first willing to give of themselves. Are you willing to give of yourself? And this is not just, of course, he talks about their liberality, how they gave, they supported the local churches. He recognized that. That's part of it. But this is not limited to finances. We're talking about your mindset leads to you being a part of something. Everybody here at the Miami Gardens Church of Christ needs to be a part of the Miami Gardens Church of Christ. Not individual program, but you're talking about the collective work. Amen, saints. Because that is how the church is set up. Not, this is just my program. This is my, no. It's the Lord. It's the work of the church, the local congregation that is structured with elders and deacons and members in particular and families working together. That's how it's set up. So your mindset just needs to fit the intent of the Almighty God. Let me give you one last example. Y'all all right? So your commitment, faith plus obedience, individual commitment leads to growth. I got to give you an example. Oftentimes, and I'm in one Hall of Fame, not the NFL Hall of Fame, I wish. No sports Hall of Fame. But recently it was put in, named a champion for children, all that, and so I'm in a Hall of Fame when it comes to youth development. Pretty cool. Why do I share that? Because there's a faith Hall of Fame we all can be a part of. And again, as some of you, when you think about Hall of Fame, any sports fans here, you recognize that is the ultimate compliment to be in a Hall of Fame. Someone else is saying, others are saying, I see what you've done. I see your body of work, and it's commendable. There's a Hall of Fame. You don't have to compete to get in. Hebrews 11, brother. Hebrews chapter 11. There's no way time's going to permit it. We'll pick it up on Wednesday. But I want to make a reference in the Faith Hall of Fame. Then I'm going to show you one example of a mama and a child, and this lesson will be yours. In Hebrews chapter 11, y'all all right? Hebrews 11th chapter. And for time's sake, we're going to just pick it up. And you got so many people that are listed here, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, so many people that are listed here in the faith. Abraham in verse 17. Let's start at verse 17. I'm going to do selective verses, brethren, for time's sake. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, see, there's your compliment. When you see that word tempt in Genesis 22, the Hebrew translation means proven or tried. Here's the proof. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, when Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Drop down to verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith, verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down. They were compassed about 7 days. By faith, a prostitute, Rahab, didn't die, perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. But watch this. The Hebrew writer is going through this listing of people that are in the Faith Hall of Fame from Abraham should be there, but you got a harlot, translate, prostitute, in the Faith Hall of Fame. So don't you tell me you don't know how bad I am. You don't know what I've gone through. God can work with you today. Let me just get my life right, then I'll come to God. No, you got it backwards. Come to God, get your life right through Christ. Then you grow in Christ. Give of yourself and be ready for any trial that comes your way. But there was one verse I read as I studied this, and I said, I got to just give him that example. Because he talked Abraham, we know about, Moses, you know about, Rahab, many you know, the walls of Jericho. But in verse 34, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Watch this. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had, verse 36, and others had trial, there it is again, of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. In other words, what do we have to complain about? When's the last time you were stoned? When's the last time you were just beaten to the point, laughed at and just beaten to the point of just mockery? No, she was mean to me. Line that up with this. Oh, he didn't treat me right. And I don't know if I can come back to church. Lord, have mercy. I'm not making light of any situations that I and you have gone through, but this is the kind of stuff we deal with. You look at Hebrews 11 in the Faith Hall of Fame. No victimization. Faith plus obedience. But the one verse that I read that stuck out with me. Let me read one more. Brethren, give me verse 30. Drop down to verse 39. Watch this. Tell me about all these people. What did they get? Why did they get a good report? Here it is. Hebrews 11, 39. Read.
And these all. Having obtained a good report.
Having obtained a good report. Hold your point. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten like good grades. Anybody ever got good grades? Some people raise their hand. That's good. God bless you. Honor roll, Stu. Some of y'all be thanking God for that C. I don't know what that's like. Thank you, Lord. Just let me pass it. Ooh, I got a D. I can pass it. I hope if that's you, God bless you. God bless you. It is a passing grade, but you know, you could do better. When you have done what you needed to do, I would turn in paper sometime to my teacher. Can you grade it right now? They're like, no, Gail, go sit down. Please, can you grade it right now? I wanted to see that. And I'll go home to my mama, Cubby. And it wasn't a D, wasn't a C. Like, look, Cubby, look, buy me something. Because she'd always give us a quarter, buy us something. They had some candy called Now and Later. She'd give us, buy us Now and Later. So I said, apple, green apple. Green apple, mama. I didn't say it like that. I was nice. But my point is, when you pass the test, when you know you've put the work in, you thank God for the results. These all were obtained of what? A good
report.
They passed. How?
Through faith.
There it is. Through faith. Read.
Received not the promise.
See, all these died. Those that came before us. But now, why do I share this with all of us today? Because it's verse 40. Here we go. Come on. They didn't see the promise. They died faithfully. But they didn't receive the promise. Come on.
God having provided some better thing for us.
God having provided some better thing for us.
That they without us. Should not be made
they
perfect.
They were not made perfect or complete. We. See, the Hebrew writer talks about what's going on today. See, this is Hebrews chapter 11. Go to Hebrews 1 and 1. Come on. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Because see, I'm going to close with this. I want to share with something about a woman and her son. Wednesday, God willing, I'll hit it then. Because if I start that, we'd be here until. I'm going to use some wisdom today. All right? We still know we got this AC still being worked. That's why we got the doors open. Thank you all for your patience. I'm going to announce right now, I'm using wisdom. I'm coming on in for a landing. Amen. Some of y'all are like, amen. Now y'all say amen. Lord, help. Hebrews 1 and 1. So the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11 says they all died in faith. They didn't receive the promise. They were not made complete. But look at Hebrews 1 and 1. Come on. Hebrews 1 and 1. God. Read.
Who at sundry times.
And in divers manners of different ways.
Spake in time past.
Unto the fathers by the prophets. Hath in these last days.
Spoken unto us.
By whom?
By his son.
So now we have a better promise. Jesus Christ. We're in the last days, point number one. We are not in a patriarchal period. God's not speaking to the heads of households and saying, you go build an ark of gopher wood. God's not speaking through Abraham. That's a patriarchal period. There's three distinct dispensations in the Bible. God's at the top line. If you have a piece of paper, I'll put my paper landscape style and put a line across the top. And you put God and put two lines down the middle. God, God, and God. Y'all got that? You see it virtually here. God spake to the fathers, patriarchal period. Noah, build that ark of gopher wood. I'm hearing voices now, and I don't mean that literally, turn that off, whatever that is. Now we have God in the Mosaical period. God spoke through Moses, children of Israel. Amen? What's the constant up top? God. But now Hebrews 1 and 1, God who at sundry times, before times, and in diverse manners, different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in his last days, God, spoken unto us by his son. You put God and you put Christ. So anybody that's outside the body of the Church of Christ, listen clearly. See, God We are not in the patriarchal age. There was only one ark of safety. God gave the specifications. They were delivered by water. Second dispensation. Y'all still with me on these dispensations? I ain't just up here putting my hands up here for nothing. Second dispensation time frame, God spoke through Moses. They went, they, children of Israel, not us. They observed the Sabbath, not us. They went through that water, not us. Delivered by water in one ark. They went through the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Come on. Let's go. Let's take a look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to see something here. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. As we think about what they did. So now we went through. We understand the patriarchal. That's the easy one. God speaking to Noah, telling him what to do and all that. Speaking to the fathers. But now God wanted to make sure we understood. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, unknowing. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So that when Moses, through the second dispensation time frame, God spoke to Moses, delivered his people, the children of Israel. They went through the Red Sea. The Bible, Paul says to the church of Christ at Corinth, they were baptized not unto Christ, but unto Moses. The word baptizo in the Greek, the word baptized means fully immersed. They went down into the Red Sea. God made a way. They walked on dry land. But since they were the word baptizo, they went down in the water. So they were therefore baptized unto Moses, delivered by water. You want to go ahead and rewind that tape to the back to the patriarchal period. Once they got into that ark, God closed the door. So we don't say, give me some more time. You don't know how much time you have. God closed the door, the ark, it rained 40 days and 40 nights, and the ark was delivered, was lifted up by water. And everybody in the one ark were saved, but it was delivered by water. They went through the water, but yet on dry land, baptized unto Moses. But stay in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So after Moses, there's another dispensation. The last dispensation. Translate dispensation, time frame. Age, not how old you are, age or time frame. We are in the Christian age right now. So if you are outside of Christ, we got folks in the Christian age still keeping Sabbaths. Folks in the Christian age still talking about what David did and how he worshiped. We're in the Christian age. One authority, and guess what that authority is? Christ. Christ followed Moses. So when John the Baptist came on the scene, what did he say about Christ? John chapter 1 about verse 26, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. John knew. Moses knew. All the prophets knew. So in Hebrews 1 and 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, Gail, come on.
Spoken to us by his Son.
Spoken unto us by his Son. Come on.
Whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
Wait a minute. Whom he, the Father, hath appointed heir over what?
All things.
All things. Come on.
By whom also he made the world.
By whom also he made the worlds. As I close, Christ is the only one that went to the cross. Christ is the only one that can save our soul. Faith plus obedience. You celebrate when you pass a driving test. When I went down to the clerk of courts and signed a document, and Chantel signed a document, her name changed. Chantel Keels on that paper was Chantel Nelson. That's called a marriage license. Amen. So that meant she went from, you look at leaving and cleaving in the book of Genesis, she left her former family and she became a part of my family. She became a Nelson. Amen. I smile when I say that. I can't get my glasses on. She probably smiling over there. I hope she's smiling over there. I ain't going to look. So if you're not willing to be a part of that man's household, then don't get married. Period. Christian means belonging to Christ. You cannot come to Christ. He died on the cross, paid the ultimate sacrifice, no victimization. He said, not my will, but thy will. He says, be like, well, let this cup pass from me, but there's a word I want you to understand. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. He went to the cross willingly. God appointed him to be the heir over all things, by him by whom also he made the worlds. Christ is the ultimate authority. Christ is the head of the church. No man, no woman, no couple, no family. Christ is the head of the church. He purchased it with his blood. You won't find any, you won't find but one church in the Bible, and that's the church of Christ. That's all you're going to find in the Bible. There's no denominations in the Bible. Matthew 16, verse 18, write that down to all our visiting friends. Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So either Christ doesn't know his pronouns, or man has lost their proverbial mind. I don't choose a former, I choose a latter. Man has lost his mind because of power, ego, money, and everything else. Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So if you're here this morning, I pray to God that you recognize the opportunity that you have. That opportunity is to be saved. The plan of salvation, not one person saying you got to do this to be saved, not another person saying you got to do this to be saved. Just go to the Bible. I said this morning in Bible class, talking about our last fishing trip, it wasn't too bad. We did pretty well, got some yellow, big yellow jack. That's better than we've done in the past. But your equipment has to be suitable for the catch. From an evangelism standpoint, the best thing I could share with each and every one of you, make sure your equipment is suitable for the task. Because I fished with inferior equipment before. It's got to be strong enough to hold what's coming in. Last time I went fishing, which was about 2 weeks ago, we got off that boat, caught some yellowjack, Brother Bassey. Then we fished from a dock because we still had that fishing fever. It wasn't enough. We had to pay a man. He said, okay, I guess our money ran out. So he brought us back. We still kept fishing off a dock. He said he cut up a fresh fish. He said, you know, we saw a shark swim by and all that. Threw it out there, and I saw my pole do this. I lifted it up. Whatever it got was on the other end of that. I didn't see it, but I tell you what, I couldn't hold it. The equipment couldn't hold it. But I tell you what, I don't care what you've gone through. Don't you tell me or don't tell anybody else. You don't know what I've gone through. God already knows. The equipment, the word can hold anything. We sing the song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Nothing, no thing you've gone through or experienced is too heavy for God. Nothing. So if you are here this morning, you want to be saved, you got to come God's way. Not come with artificial equipment, man's tradition. You got to come through the holy and inspired word of God. You must hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. The essence of evangelism is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He died for our sins. John the Baptist didn't die for your sins. Moses didn't die for your sins. Abraham didn't die for your sins. Christ, and only Christ, died for our sins. And in his death, he shed his blood. And when he shed his blood, Acts 20 and 28, he purchased the church. He, Christ, purchased the church. So when big head men and even some big head women, talking about they're the founder, they're this, they're all that, you can have that. I just want to be a part of what Christ is the head of. Nothing else. And mankind has lost his mind. It's proverbial mind. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe that he purchased the church with his own blood, he's the head of the church. Only one. Are you willing to change your mind based on faith and obedience? Leaving all that you might have even learned in the past. Just follow God's word, nothing else. Don't believe me, it's in the scripture. Jesus says in Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are you willing to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God? In Acts chapter 8, verse 37 that you have on your screen, you can look it up and read it for yourself. There's an Ethiopian man who had a good job. He worked for Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He had his own chariot. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He was reading Isaiah chapter 53. And as he was reading his Bible, God saw fit. That man needs to be saved. Philip joined himself to the Ethiopian eunuch. He taught him Jesus. You cannot teach Jesus without teaching baptism. You cannot teach Jesus without teaching about his church. And the Bible says, as they were on their way, Philip and that eunuch, The eunuch said, see, here is water. Remember the ark delivered by water? Mosaical, went through water. And so you got to have some water in the last one. You got to have water. God is not going to save you through the dry through dry cleaning. You got to go to the water. Acts chapter 8, about verse 37. See, here is water. What doth hinder me? What's stopping me from being baptized? We're quoting Acts 8 and 37. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. You know what he said? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Upon that confession, both Philip and that eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Not sprinkling, not pouring. That's false teaching. He was baptized. And he went on his way rejoicing. So he was rejoicing when he was baptized. We got a lot to rejoice about here as well. But you also rejoice when you're baptized into Christ. You should rejoice when you go through trials of affliction, because there's joy that awaits in heaven. Amen. And the Bible lets us know that after you are baptized, saints, remember this, no victimization, faith and obedience. Be faithful until death. And that means until death, until the day we die. And you know what that means? Between the time we are born to the time we are reborn or baptized, born again, and here's death, we got to go through stuff. It won't always be smooth. We got to hit those valleys. We may have some good points and all that. We got to be able to go through all of that. That means faithfully until death. And God has promised us, Revelation 2 and verse 10, a crown of life. A song has been selected. The lesson is yours. I pray to God that you will come. God's not going to force you to do it. He's not going to yell at you. Get up here and be baptized. No, no, no. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. As we together stand, as we together sing, won't you come?